Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
It's a little bit colder out today.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm feeling a little like, okay, that's it. Winter's here.
Yes.
Today, we have a guest. We're very excited. Gloria Cox has joined us. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure because there's a big event coming up. We're going to talk today about a collaboration of theater groups between Shoes Up Theater and the SAS Acting 11-12 class, correct?
Absolutely.
That's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. It's a first-time collaboration, so it's been a real adventure.
Yes, adventure would be a great word for something like this.
When you get so many people involved and so many personalities, definitely adventure is a good word for it.
Yes. So it's a Christmas production, and I'm going to, we're going to talk a lot about it, but I know that it's opening very soon, so that's one of the great things about community radio, so we can talk about what's going on behind the scenes and it's as it's happening, and make sure people get a chance to see it during their Christmas season.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked just before we came on the air about how important drama is for kids of all ages. But before we even
being
get into
a kid is kind of dramatic.
Yeah. Kind of is. We, as the parents of teenagers, mm-hmm. know that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Drama 24/7.
But that's your time to test it out, right? Mm-hmm. When you're a teenager and that prefrontal cortex is still figuring itself out, this is the time.
And the theater must be a great avenue to work all those things out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I suppose it's their chance to reinvent who they are temporarily, try out some personalities, try out identities, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, but Gloria, I want to know what brought you to this. Tell us a little bit about your background.
So my background, I remember my mom telling me that the first thing I ever said I wanted to be was an actress when I was about 3 years old.
Wow.
So it's fitting that I would be a drama teacher. And I come from a long line of teachers. So I'm a fourth generation teacher.
Wow.
And that was completely by accident. I was adamant growing up that I wasn't going to be a teacher. I didn't like the idea of following in everyone's footsteps. But I soon discovered in my early 20s that a love for theater and a love for kids, really the logical outcome of that is teaching and teaching theater. So as an adult, I have a need for security. And so the idea of waiting tables, hoping for a big break wasn't a very good fit for me. Whereas working with kids and just being inspired by them was a much better fit.
Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. And it must be building new brain pathways all the time, having a new class every year and having a new production every year to direct and produce and manage.
One of the great things about teaching is you get to start over every 5 months with the semester system. So anything you don't like or you want to change, you get a clean slate. And that is a really great thing.
I'd like one of those.
Yeah.
It would come in handy, actually. Yeah. I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah.
So but you're at Jackson, correct?
Jackson and Sullivan.
So you're at both. You're teaching at both campuses.
Yeah, I travel back and forth at lunchtime.
Fun. Do you walk?
Yes. No, I don't. I modeled myself after Brian Pratt Johnson, who used to travel, and he often walked, but I don't know how he got everything done and still walked between campuses.
Yeah. Well, he probably, oxygen in his brain was being served at lunchtime, right?
Increased his efficiency, probably. I should model myself after that, too.
It's uphill both ways, though. That's the problem. Yeah. So at Jackson, I have, and probably Louise does too, we have a little bit of experience with this, right? Knowing the kind of productions that happened at Jackson. And it seemed like that was an intense and amazing accomplishment to compact into 5 months some of the things that we saw there.
Well, thank you. I hope so. That's fantastic. One of my favorite things, one time when we were, after we did a play, someone left and I could overhear their conversation. And the woman said, wow, that was like real theater. And I thought, what a compliment. It didn't feel like just another school Christmas concert you had to sit through and, bide your time until you could finally leave. So that's what we're striving for.
Yeah. And do you find like that kids that do that are coming back to you to say, you know what, you started something for me?
Definitely seeing a pattern. And one of the neat things about working with Shoes Up Theater is we're starting to get more kids going from theater in the high school and being involved at the next level of community theater, which of course is, that's what the goal is, to keep people involved in theater and have that creative outlet. So that's been really neat to watch.
Yeah. You're training not only audience members, because we feel like that too, right? Like every time you create a kids program, it's not about making sure that they're just participating in a passive way with the arts. It's that they become the art You want Absolutely. Them to become the art. They need to find ways to express themselves. So
I think it's so important that kids have an opportunity to have a creative outlet, and they don't always appreciate the need for that. And so what I find is kids will come in a little uncertain, and then we'll discover this is actually really healthy, really fun, really engaging. And there's a lot of community that's involved in theater. And I think that's a piece sometimes, especially in our electronic age, that kids aren't always finding a community. Mm-hmm. And there's a really strong acceptance and bonding that comes. And that's really fun as a teacher to be part of.
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember when you had to do square dance in gym?
Yes.
Yes. It's kind of like that. You hate it at first, but then once you're doing it, it's so fun.
Yeah.
And
really?
It builds your confidence.
Did you
and
really you, have
yes,
fun square
I did
dancing?
Have that feeling. I was like, oh no, not square dance. And my kids too. Oh, mom, it's square dancing. I don't want to go today. And I'm like, but then I make them, well, I try to make them go, and they go, and they were like, it's kind of fun.
It's a secret that right? they enjoyed it.
Yeah, because it's active, and it's, and they're trying something new, and they're working through, you know, confidence issues and trying something they've never tried before. And I mean, I always remember that square dancing. I hated the idea of going, but once I went, I loved it. And I'm sure kids who take drama feel that mm-hmm. sometimes, right?
And I think it's across all of the different, you know, types, like the stereotypes. Mm-hmm. I think there is no one theater stereotype. It crosses all these boundaries. So you'll get athletes and smart kids and outcasts and right all of them yeah. mixing together mm-hmm. to do this mm-hmm. and when you're all playing a different role, you've left that other role behind,
right?
So and it adds a whole different dimension to their experience.
And we start right off the bat. I always say sort of the number one rule of our classroom is it doesn't matter who you're friends with outside of this room, but in this room I need to not be able to tell who's your best friend and who's your worst enemy, because we all work together, we support each other, and we treat everybody with respect. So that's drama is really effective at doing that.
Yeah, nice.
Breaking down barriers and boundaries. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like nice. That there's, because I always felt like high school is such a weird artificial environment. You know, you're only with people the exact same age as you, except you're one teacher. And I feel like the intergenerational learning and the role modeling is kind of lost mm-hmm. in our school system. But because you're doing a collaboration, you're creating another, you know, like opportunity for these kids to have role models in their lives.
Absolutely.
People that are probably a lot like them. And all these older people who with all this experience, seeing themselves in these young people would be just, you know, like, oh man, I was just like you when I was a kid.
Oh,
this
marvelous.
Is what I did.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Inter-peer learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's really missing.
Yeah.
We really should change the school system to have old people in school.
Mentorship. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even just the fact that, you know, the role model situation, right? Like where I was just listening to somebody on the mothership, CBC, who was talking about how boys, 14, 15 year old boys don't have role models. They don't know how to behave. They actually mm-hmm. are not learning how to be, you know, polite mm-hmm. and respectful mm-hmm. Because their brains, they're just learning from each other, and their brains are so mixed up and crazy with all the wiring and stuff happening that they just, you know, they're just behaving in such a way that's not really acceptable. But in a situation yeah. where there's lots of role models of different ages, so if there was like 25 year olds and 60 year olds and 75 year olds in the classroom with them, there would right. be lots of opportunity for role modeling, for modeling behavior.
Yeah.
So why don't we do that? Why don't we just bring old people into class?
I know. And then the whole idea of pretend, I think, is important, because there are studies that show that if you try to learn something, it takes you a certain amount of time. But if you pretend or play as part of the learning, you learn it like a bazillion times faster.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's really
bazillion.
Yeah.
That's a factual
bazillion. Yes.
ratio.
I can look it up.
Statistical.
But it's
good math.
No, it's significant, the difference yeah. between formal learning and pretending through play with a learning objective.
Wow.
How much quicker the outcome is achieved.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me, especially as like playing a role, because you become it, you know, rather than being the outsider looking at it and trying to learn from it, you become it.
Right.
I think you absorb a lot mm-hmm. quicker.
Yeah. It's a fundamental different way to approach. That's why, universities and institutes are moving towards simulation. Let's just pretend we knew what we were doing, or let's just pretend this was our problem to solve. And the outcomes are far faster and more impactful than the traditional methods.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I will find the actual number. I don't think it was a bazillion.
It's
pretty close
fine.
To a bazillion, but
works for me.
Sort of similar, but maybe a little bit different. One of the things that school, grade 9, 10 level of drama, we tend to do more play-based as opposed to script-based. And I think that a lot of the benefit from drama comes that the group dynamic that you learn how to work with, problem solving and negotiating and brainstorming, that's the stuff that really has an impact, a long-term life skill impact from theater, in addition to the creativity. So, and they learn those skills because they have to figure out, if you've got five people in a group, how do you solve the problem of the task you've been given and not have one person who dominates or one person who says nothing, and supporting each other so that they accomplish the task they set out to accomplish.
Right. This is such critical work you're doing.
Yeah, kids will say, oh, I'm never going to be an actor. What does this matter? But it's not about being an actor. It's truly about life skills.
Yeah. They also say that about history and English and math.
Why do I need this?
Yeah, why do I need this?
I hate that question.
I know.
It's good for your brain.
I know. I always say, do you ever plan to get on a bus? Do you ever think you need exact change? You ever have to figure out how to get from here to there? Yeah, you need it.
Yeah. Well, I always have this joke. I have to do math probably once or twice a year in my job, and it's pretty darn exciting. I had to figure out when we did the railway exhibition, the graffiti exhibition, I had to figure out our linear feet and then how many 18-inch sections of wood with 1 inch in between them we could fit around the gallery, how many maximum photographs we could get in this project. And I really had to figure it out with numbers.
You do math every day.
I know, but it was just funny because I'm doing all this math and Dolores made fun of me. She's like, are you doing math?
Why do
you're
do
in
that?
The art sector. Yes. Yes, we do have to use math in every sector, even the arts.
Every day in every sector.
Yes. And Google isn't going to be there every day, every minute for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and even when it is there, you can't find it. Like right now, I'm trying to find that stat, but I can't. Anyway, I think I'll just leave it for the moment.
Okay. And actually, yeah, that's the thing, is that when the tools that these guys have grown up with are suddenly unavailable, what have they got, right?
I think we get out of the habit of thinking. We just go to our technology rather than stopping to see if we already know or we can already solve it. And that's a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're already seeing that the critical thinking skills and creative thinking and lateral thinking skills are starting to diminish because people are expecting to get the direct route and not have to figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Right. And theater isn't just about acting. It's also about set building and promotion and planning and time management and, you know, all of those important things.
Yeah. Well, there's so many roles. And actually, in a collaboration like this, that's kind of interesting to see who takes on all of those different roles. Today on Artscape, we're joined by Gloria Cox from Sam Norm Secondary School, but also from Shoe Swap Theater. And we're talking about the new collaboration for the Christmas production, Santa's Zombie Apocalypse. But we haven't got there yet. We were just talking about how important it is for teenagers to have drama in their lives. Not just the drama at home when they're trying to get ready for school, right, but the other drama.
Or how to manage drama in their lives through the tools that the theater teaches you. Mm-hmm. I should talk. I mean, I can't talk. I've never done any kind of theater, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
Really?
No.
None?
None. Not a one.
Didn't she get to play an elf in the Christmas play in grade 3?
Not that I really remember.
Huh.
No. There was singing, but there was no...
Was that a French thing?
Maybe it's a French thing. There's more singing and church stuff than there is.
I know. Improv is huge in Quebec.
Yes. But I didn't grow up in Quebec. I grew up in Northern Ontario. I'm not sure. We just didn't... Everything was music-based.
Hmm.
But I guess some schools are different, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a lot of times it depends on the talent that's in the school. And I suppose that if the math teacher also has to do drama, maybe there'd be a lot more script-based kind of work, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, here's a book. We'll just do this.
Right.
But I guess when people are passionate about theater, then that kind of program comes alive in a school.
And I mean, there's other way. I mean, I guess the overarching topic is really learning how to perform, right? So you can perform as a musician, or you can perform as a discours in class, which mm-hmm. everybody, all the kids are like, discours day is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. they need to learn. Even my students at the college, if I say to them, hey, guess what? We're going to do a group presentation. The look on their face is like, ugh, really? Couldn't I just submit a paper? Yeah. And I say, no, listen, when they're like, I want to be an accountant. Why do I have to do group presentations? I'm like, guess what? Everybody has to do group work yeah. in life, right?
Exactly.
And I think ultimately theater is the ultimate group presentation.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Except there's no PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Mm-hmm.
Jerry Seinfeld has a little comedy bit about public speaking. And he says, most people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. So at your average funeral, the people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. And people have said that to me too, because I always do opening night comments at the gallery. And people say, oh my gosh, it's just amazing that you can stand up there. And I think, really? Like, it does not faze me. I don't understand that complete fear of standing in front of somebody else just to say words.
Right.
It's just words.
Yeah, I don't understand. But it is somewhere along the line, through teaching or mentorship or inter-peer, you learned about performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, I want to get into the roles of how this all worked. Collaboration's so interesting to me. I love collaborations because that's where you bring diversity of voices and really get a true new product at the end, because you've got all of this, the different sources. So I am going to ask you a couple of questions. So first of all, who came up with this idea of doing a collaborative project between the theater and the acting students?
Well, I think originally it sort of stemmed from my idea, but it was pretty quickly a group decision. I can give a little plug for Salmon Room. Has a fantastic summer theater festival called Theater on the Edge, mm-hmm. and it's a fringe style festival. It happens in July. If you haven't been, you have to check it out. And we were at the Fringe Festival this summer, and I recently joined the artistic committee at Shuswap Theater. So we were talking about the fact that we didn't necessarily have a Christmas show for this year. Salmon Room, Shuswap Theater has a long history of doing Christmas pantomimes.
Yes.
And I think the last 2 years there hasn't been a Christmas show. And so as we were talking about that, I was thinking about the fact that I was going to do my show with my acting 11-12 kids in December. So then I had the idea, well, what if we combine those two things? That would be kind of a cool opportunity. One of the goals of the theater is to get more young people into the building. I think it's a very adult space. And if kids don't find a way to sort of bridge that barrier, they think of it as being something for adults. They go to the movies across the street and the adults go to the theater. So having, 40 plus kids in these two different classes come into the building and experience what it's like, get on stage, see what's back there, makes it very accessible. So pretty quickly, a lot of people were interested in the idea, and we started to figure out logistically, can we make this happen? And we went to the board, and Hammy McClimmett, who's in the other room, who's our producer, was instrumental in helping me take that to the board and see if they were interested in supporting this and if we could make it fly. And we had really good response.
Mm, fantastic. Well, if everybody's excited, then it's going to be wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good idea when everybody gets on board that quickly.
Yeah. Buy-in.
Yeah.
Okay, so once that
And now
happened,
it's here. It's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tomorrow night. How did you choose Santa's Zombie Apocalypse?
The process of choosing a play, I don't know. I think I wish I was a more decisive person. It's a long, meandering path, for me at least. I started off with, we weren't necessarily stuck on it just being Christmas. We thought it was just a collaboration. And I found Pink Panther script that I loved. It was just fun. And then I started thinking about the kids in my classes. And I've got two different blocks of acting 11-12. So the other problem to solve was, how do we get both groups of kids on stage? Can I do two full plays at the same time? How's that going to work? So I found this script, and there's one boy in one of my blocks who I thought would make a fabulous Inspector Clouseau. And the other class, there wasn't an actor that was a natural fit for that. And I don't think that's a rule that you could switch and make it a female character. So there was just a disconnect with that. So I had to turf that idea. And then I found a play about a band of like swashbuckling lady pirates. And I thought, oh, that's fun. Let's go. But the end of the script was more basically they took these sailors captives and then they all fell in love with their captives. And I just thought, is that the best we can do in 2018? Like this great idea of female pirates. So I turfed that. And then I was reading. And one of the criteria for a thing that makes me interested in the script is if it makes me laugh out loud when I'm reading it, I think that's a good sign. Because when it gets on stage and it's visual, it's going to be even funnier than when you're sitting in your chair reading it. So I read the first half of it, because with plays, you can read the first part for free and then you've got to pay to read the end of it. And I was like, well, this seems very promising. And so I stuck my credit card in and got the rest of the play and thought, yeah, this could work. With Christmas plays, one of the challenges is that they can either be, especially when they're aimed for kids, they're all fairy tale characters or they're very childish. So that's one of the reasons why the zombie apocalypse appealed to me, because there's a bit of teen appeal in having zombies on stage. It's not just Santa Claus and some elves.
Yeah, what teenager doesn't love a zombie?
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of part of our regular, like, it's not even outside mainstream mm-hmm. media anymore. Zombies are just part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's just everywhere. Pride, Prejudice, and zombies. And
well, we used to call them the boogeyman, but now they're called zombies.
Yeah.
Same difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. This was written by somebody else, though.
Yeah. Bradley Walton is the author. And he's a theater person from, oh, I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
Okay.
somewhere in the States, and I forget, New Hampshire maybe, somewhere in the States. Sorry, Bradley Walton, if you're listening to this. And it's he
probably
wrote
not.
It. So it's a newer script. He wrote it last year. And
That is recent. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was first performed last December in the States.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe he is listening
then. It's the Canadian debut.
Is it Canadian debut?
I actually don't know that. Wow. It's from a website called Theatre Folk, and a lot of drama teachers use it.
Yeah.
So I just don't know if someone else is also...
Right.
You know, fresh meat, if pardon the pun.
Well, we'll just go with debut.
Yeah. So, and how did you choose the roles? Like, I'm guessing that a lot of the cast is the acting students. Since they took acting, they kind of want to act.
Absolutely.
So how does all the other roles, like, how does that all fall out? All the stage direction and the set design and things like that. How does that...
So we got together and made a plan, kind of what aspects SAS was going to be responsible for and what aspects Shuswap Theatre would be responsible for. So we have a lot of help on the tech and production side of things. The kids are involved in that a bit as well, and there's some mentoring and some role modeling. But the actors are all high school students. And we have, so for example, we have student stage managers who've done a fantastic job. But then we also have Nadine Scott, who is from Shuswap Theatre, who is the overall stage manager. So what we decided to do was run these two casts alternating evenings, because normally a Salmon Arm secondary production, we'd run for 3 nights, maybe 4 nights. It's 1 week. But Shuswap Theatre does a longer run, so we're there for 2 weeks. So that seemed like a lot to ask of one class to be there for that many shows. So I have two classes that are both doing the same play, and they alternate evenings. So they each do 2 nights each week. So Nadine is there all 8 of the evenings, and all the Shuswap volunteers, Shuswap Theatre volunteers, are there all 8. And that will help give consistency to the play so that it's not two different experiences depending on when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been the stage manager working with my kids, which has been a great role modeling for them, so they see what it's like to actually full-on stage manage a show in a community theatre.
Yeah. Is that something that's part of your class too? Is just kind of understanding and maybe taking part in some of the extra roles that not acting, not on stage roles?
Yeah, absolutely. Understanding all the different aspects that go into putting on a production. So it's not just about acting. It's understanding a bit of how the lights work and how do you costume a show. The kids are very involved in makeup. I've got a couple of kids who are really quite skilled with the zombie makeup, and that was a fun challenge as well. What else? Props. The kids have done all the props. They've built them and organized them and gathered them, which is a great task. Publicity. We went on the radio yesterday for CK. Actually, I don't even know. Easy Rock. I don't know what the numbers are. And that's always a treat for the grade 12s to come and advertise the show. Posters. Yeah, lots of pieces.
Well, that's good, because that's I think, of huge value going forward in the art sector, that people being trained in all the different aspects of actually making cultural events happen is so critical, rather than just having the limelight, right?
Absolutely, because nothing happens if you don't have the support behind the scenes. We probably have as many people who have volunteered behind the scenes as we have actual actors on stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exciting. So is Santa the lead? Is like
Santa the star of this show?
No, Santa's not the Santa is the damsel in distress, if you will, who has to be rescued. So the leads are two little reindeer who are making their way to the North Pole for the first time. Their parents are actually hippies who have moved to Alaska to get away from it all. And they come to visit their grandparents at the North Pole. And that's when this invasion of zombies happens.
Oh, and so who plays your reindeers?
There are so four different students who play the reindeers. Jamie Suretsky and Taryn Botcher are playing in the Block A class, and Luke Rivette and Jenny Alexi are in the Block B class. Mm.
This is big breaks time, right?
Absolutely.
Some scout might be in the audience or something. You never know.
Well, it sounds more fun than doing math homework, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll say. And Santa, does Santa have a, like, I'm just thinking about how, you know, interesting the different characters are. Mm-hmm, that it's zombies and reindeer and Santa and, right? Like, I'm just trying to imagine kids saying, yeah, I really resonate with Santa. I want to be that.
Well, one of the reasons I really like this play is because there's a lot of opportunity for character, because it's not real people. It's elves and reindeer and Santa. So you can have a lot of fun with those characters. Mm-hmm. And it's also a multimedia production. So the idea in this play is that these reindeer are going to save Santa. Santa's trapped with in the back with his lawyers. So that's why he can't get out to save himself. So the reindeer have no experience with this kind of thing. So the best they can do is they're going to pretend it's a video game and they're going to fight zombies like you would in a video game. So there's actually a screen that's on the stage. And while the reindeer are fighting the zombies, there's a video game happening in the background that every time they dodge a zombie, bring 10 points, zombie dodged.
Oh,
so it's a fun interactive performance.
Interesting. Well, of course, that would really intrigue kids, to the mix of technology with all of this. It's kind of, it's just their lives now.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. One of the things we've had to adjust, the scores that come up on the video screen, it's a student who built the PowerPoint for the multimedia, and they went up really quickly and came down. And because kids are so used to that, they can read that and they can, you know, note what's happened on screen. But we've had to slow down the timing of those, because as adults who don't play video games all the time, we couldn't keep up with reading and knowing what was going on. So we've had to make it adult friendly.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, because of Plants vs. Zombies. Like, I tried it. I couldn't keep track of what was happening and get my sons and be able to connect all of the dots in the immediacy that is required in a video game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, we learn to accommodate each other, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And who do we think will be the audience?
I am hoping it's going to be a whole wide variety of people. I think that when people hear the word zombies, they might have some concerns of, is this like, how does zombies fit in with Christmas? And is this going to be full of gore and guts and blood? It's a family-friendly comedy. So grandparents with their grandkids, teenagers with their friends, moms, dads, it's a whole family kind of thing. And it's really open for anybody.
Well, nice. That's the perfect seasonal event, open to everybody. And we talk about experiences all the time like that. Mm-hmm. Just get out, try something new. Mm-hmm.
And accessible, and not, you know, people think of the theater as high art, but it isn't the case at all.
No.
Really.
No. So we were talking about how, we were just talking about all the cast and characters and everything, and how that's all, how the roles were assigned and everything. So that's all very exciting. And I know you said that last night was rehearsal number two. So how did that go? Or dress rehearsal number two.
Dress rehearsal number two. So that's the interesting thing about doing a production that's double cast, is everything's done twice.
Twice.
So it's great. The kids are there once, but the tech staff and the director and things are all there twice. So what we've done is the base rehearsals were at the school. We did all of that piece. And then when Odd Jobs, which was the first show of She Swept Theater this fall, was done, then we've moved into the theater and built our set. And we have had, we took chunks of rehearsal after school. So from 2 o'clock, we took last block and then stayed till six and did some long rehearsals to get the kids comfortable with the space, because changing rehearsal space to performance space is another interesting challenge. It's just a little bit different shape and a little bit different sound, and the wings are different. So they had to get used to that. And so for the past couple weeks, since the middle of November, we've been working in Shoe Swap Theater. And then we did our dress rehearsal for the second class last night and the first class the night before. And things are looking like they're in place and we're good to go.
And are the two casts competitive? Like, are they spying on each other?
Well, it's interesting because one of the classes said to me, okay, come on, tell us the truth. Which cast is better?
Oh.
And you know, that's a bad question when a cast asks you that. But Thankfully, I was able to say it's truly not one or the other. There are different strengths and weaknesses, and on any given day, one group might outperform the other. But there's the talent level and the commitment, I think, is pretty equal between the two groups. So you're going to get a good show no matter which group you hit.
Oh, of course. But it's still, I mean, it's I would like, think there would yeah. be, there'd be this, oh, come on.
Competitive.
Yeah. Yeah. And they would up their game.
For sure.
If they knew they were in competition.
Well, and that's always I don't know if I should say this or not. That's kind of the carrot. It's like, hey, if you're not doing your job, there's somebody else who knows your lines. Yes, you better make sure. Yeah. Not that I was threatening them, but.
Well, I don't. Yeah. I think that's reasonable to just to say if there's like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I get it, right? Everybody gets a participant ribbon, but still you have to like, this is a performance. You got to bring your everything.
Yeah. And if you're unreliable, it's not fair to the people around you with all the work and time that goes in.
Exactly. It's a team effort. Mm-hmm. And if you let your team down, that's really hard.
And your obligation is really to your audience, I think. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's worked out really fortunately that we have a double cast because one of our students actually was on a list for surgery and thought she was going in January and got called early and had surgery in November. And thankfully, the person who in the other cast who also had that role is able to step in and do all 8 nights.
Nice.
So from that regard, we were very fortunate.
Yes.
Good planning.
Very
proper
good
prior planning.
Yeah. Well, I just think this is a really exciting thing. How does the rest of the She's Up Theater volunteers and people feel about it?
They've been really enthusiastic and really patient and kind with our kids, very aware that this is a new experience and a new risk for them to take. And so we've got right down to our ushers, even. We've brought kids in from the high school to learn to be ushers at She's Up Theater, and they've gone through training with the front of house manager. And so now they're trained and they could come and do other She's Up Theater events if they wanted to be part of that, which is pretty great.
You got your hook in them.
Oh, yeah. It's such an incubator. Wonderful.
Kids in painting the set, people helping with construction. We've had parent volunteers come in as well, right down to moms baking cookies for rehearsals. So the kids had a little snack, mm-hmm. which was a lovely addition to the rehearsal process as well.
Plus, it exposes the parents to the arts that maybe don't necessarily feel like they're a natural fit, mm-hmm. right? Because we tend to sort of align with you're either a hockey parent or a lacrosse parent or a ski parent or a swim parent. But then if all of a sudden your swimmer decides they're going to try theater, then hey, guess what? Mm-hmm. You're going to learn how to be a theater parent too.
Yep. Yeah. And guess what? You could be both.
Yes.
Or three or four mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's allowed.
Yeah, we tend to specialize too much, I think.
I think so.
This is our thing.
I don't like the division.
Yeah.
I mean, and I had a conversation with a mom one day whose kid was really sporty growing up. The two kids, like the first kid, super sporty. Second kid, pretty sporty, but also had this real interest in the arts. But because they had become a sport family, she didn't really, participate in any other arts things until this kid was 16 years old and saying, I really want to do this, yes. like really, really lots.
Yeah.
And she was just telling me that, man, I wish I'd known that there was this whole other world mm-hmm. in our community and we could have been participating in these things for years.
For sure. And the ripple effect of a play, my goodness, the parents, the grandparents, the brothers, the sisters, the aunties, the friends, mm-hmm. right? You're through your work, you're exposing a whole new group of people to the theater, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. And it becomes a real celebration, like of every individual.
Mm-hmm.
That's the really special part, right? Like you could become, everybody gets together. They go to it's like, what night are you getting your tickets for? Mm-hmm. And we'll go out for dinner before, maybe even if it's just drive through A&W. And then you just go to the theater. The kid's amazing. You go home, you have cookies.
Tons
I don't know.
Pictures, like it's a big they're thing. They're all over social media.
You get flowers
like
for
just,
them.
It's like the ripple.
Exactly.
Wave.
And that kid
big wave.
Feels
big zombie
loved.
Wave.
Yeah, big yeah. zombie wave. But that kid feels loved by multiple adults. And
yes.
that's exactly what we want every kid to feel. Right? That
Absolutely.
They are loved by lots of people. And I think that sort of, even if it's a short-lived adoration, it makes a kid feel pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, gee, good job, Gloria.
Yeah. So, and you do this every year, twice a year?
Yes. Yeah. So
I have quite a long resume of plays completed.
Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly enough, I've been teaching English for several years. When I moved to Seminar, I didn't have enough seniority to get the drama jobs. We were at a place where schools were shrinking and we were having less and less teachers.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, sadly, the drama sometimes would get tacked onto somebody else's job who didn't necessarily feel passionately mm-hmm. about it, yep. but had a little bit of experience and needed to fill out their job. So it's only been, this is my sixth year, I believe, that I've had theater, and only my second year with the Acting 11-12s. So I'm kind of getting that. It's getting the wheel rolling and building my own traditions and my own program. So
oh, lovely.
It's pretty exciting.
And I don't know if listeners know, but there's an absolutely beautiful theater space at the high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we are so fortunate. Yeah. Our theater at Sullivan is, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I guess I forget. Like I've been there so much for...
And the proper...
Yeah. It's fabulous. Yeah. And every seat's a great seat because it's so steeply mm-hmm. raked and mm-hmm. you can see everything.
Yeah. It's legit.
It's a legit theater.
As the teenagers say.
You're so hip with the kids.
I know, right?
So tell us what else is going on. Like, just because I know what it's like when you're involved with an organization like Shuswap Theater, you can't help but be involved with the next eight projects that are coming down the pipe, just because there's always planning and stuff going on. So you mentioned Ozone during the break. So is Ozone coming up again? Like, is Salmon Arm being a host mm-hmm. again?
Yeah. Yes. Salmon Arm at Shuswap Theater. I always say Salmon Arm at the first. Shuswap Theater is hosting the Ozone Festival in May of this year.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Well, that's huge. It's such a big opportunity.
Yeah, because it's the Okanagan Zone. So
yeah.
It's seven or eight plays up and down the valley. Mm-hmm. And their cast, their crew, their director, seven. We'll be here in that early part of May.
Well, it's just a big boost for the arts too, because people actually come and stay here.
Absolutely.
They eat here. They do stuff.
Yeah. Plus it's a tribute to what's happening at Shuswap Theater. New benches, new seats. Mm-hmm. It's being recognized as a place that has the capacity to host these things.
Yeah.
Including host it better or facilitate it more than communities that are much bigger. So I think that's a feather in our cap.
Yep, absolutely. And
or in their cap, not mine.
Yeah. But as a big group of really dedicated volunteers, mm-hmm. that is a...
Right, and Theater on the Edge, and then all the annual productions, and now this collaboration. Like, there's huge momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all down to use guys.
Yeah, it feels really good. Like, it feels very healthy, and like expansion doesn't feel like it's unmanageable. Everybody seems to be respecting each other, like you said earlier. It just feels good. Mm-hmm. It feels like a good, healthy community.
So, I think we're very fortunate to have so many arts in our community.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing Santa's Zombie Apocalypse is not going to be the Ozone entry?
It will not be our entry, no. I believe that our entry this year is called Lend Me a Tenor, and it's directed by Julia Boddy, and that will go into rehearsals in February, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually, the timing is set out in advance just for that purpose, right?
Right. It's the festival show that's chosen ahead of time to go to the Ozone Festival.
Yeah. So it's fresh in everybody's minds.
Yes. I know that Julia was excited when she found out that it was here, because that means she doesn't have to pack up her set and drive it to another community. Mm-hmm. She gets to keep it in Salmon Arm, so that's a real bonus for her.
It is, because that's a big deal. Like, you would probably change the entire set design if you knew you had to pick it up and take it somewhere else.
Absolutely. The mm-hmm. portability of it is a big deal with the weight of all the wood and what you can and can't do in a festival show.
Yeah. And lighting, I imagine lighting isn't exactly the same across the board. You'd have to go and figure out your lighting ahead of time. And
yeah, your own space with your own people definitely is an advantage.
Mm-hmm. It's like home field advantage.
Home field advantage.
Yeah, exactly. In the theater.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting. There's exciting times ahead. Are you involved with any of those things? Or is this kind of your big thing? And then you're like, bye, see you later. I'm busy with my kids.
Yeah, we can't all do everything.
Yeah.
Well, I am on the artistic committee. So it's our job. And I'm recent to this, so I'm not taking any credit for anything yet. But our job is to plan out the season. So right now we're just finalizing the 2019-2020 season, so we try to be ahead, and we get choose the plays and get directors and get that set up.
So has there been any challenges in that? Like, it seems to me that there's this plethora of talented people moving to Salmon Arm, but I know that we still have kind of a demographic of a certain age and a certain, you know, sort of maybe willingness. Is there any part of the theater that
is having trouble finding people?
It's definitely a challenge getting directors. It's a big project to take on. And yes. So that can be a challenge, and stage managers as well. It is because it's a time commitment, and it has to be something that you're passionate about and that you love. So the more people that we get in trying things and potentially being willing to take that risk, I'm not even sure exactly where I'm trying to go with that, but that's definitely a difficult spot to fill.
And it's in community theater, it's generally a volunteer position.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So if you're working full time and you have, say, a family or any kind of responsibilities, mm-hmm. and then you take on a project like that, that becomes like another full time job
for sure. Bet.
Voluntarily.
Yeah. It's an enormous commitment, mm-hmm. but it is a testing ground, an incubator for, I mean, I'm sure all people aren't just like, oh yeah, I'm totally a director on the side. Like they sort of aspire to be a paid director, but you have to start in the community theater.
Get some experience.
Right? And then you think about all the starts that have happened at SAS and at Shushwap Theater. And many of those people have gone on to work in professional productions, like even Caravan Farm Theater. And mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And I think we underestimate the opportunities there are to have careers in the arts in BC.
Yes.
I did a tour of the Vancouver Film School last year, and they talked about how much work there is for you. Maybe not going to be the star of a show, but voice actors and all the technical and production crew, there's lots of work for people if they are passionate about the arts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In film. And we know that BC's percentage of workers, not just in the creative, you know, quote unquote class, but in the arts is a higher percentage than anywhere else in the country.
Yeah.
So
there's more people working in the arts in BC than in forestry and mining combined.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just surprising. Throwing that out there.
Yeah, very interesting.
And 4 in 10 people in Salmon Arm belong to the creative class.
That's right. Huh. We're a very creative bunch.
We are. And the technology is a big part of that, right? Like we have 80 plus technology firms in Salmon Arm. It's kind of invisible, right? You just don't see, they don't have storefronts, so we don't see it. And of course the animation industry has just gotten
enormous. And, you know, not everyone's going to go on to win an Academy Award, but I think teaching the fundamentals of performance, I mean, ultimately business and your career is a form of performance.
Right. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Okay. Drama?
Yeah.
What a great segue. Well,
sure. So the penultimate address for drama would be where?
The penultimate?
Yeah.
Address.
The lights of?
Broadway?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
oh my
one
gosh,
of,
I knew an answer.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to play like 10 questions, 20 questions here. And one of the most recent super hits on Broadway was?
Hamilton.
Yes. And the lead in that show is?
I don't know that one.
Oh, okay.
Do you know that one, Gloria?
No, I don't know that either.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, okay.
And so that show has been on tour. You know, once you hit it big on Broadway, then typically there are touring, I don't know what the touring
companies.
Cast, touring companies who go around and keep the love going kind of thing. but you don't normally see like the top banana in the touring shows. Right.
So the lead usually doesn't go on tour.
No, because they've been to Broadway.
Once They're
you've
done.
Been to Broadway, you're not going to go to Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because his family is from Puerto Rico and the devastating Hurricane Maria, he's actually taking his own show to the Caribbean, and he's going to star in it.
Wow.
So 24 performances. Part of a $15 million fundraising effort.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is very... See the difference the arts can make.
Absolutely.
It's not just about individual growth and development.
And they're just like us. They put their pants on one leg at a time, you know? But I think he wrote and performed in Hamilton. And it's kind of like a historical rap, right? So it's a little bit like the Christmas zombie thing. You're taking traditional and, contemporary or... Postmodern and squishing them together and connecting with two kinds of audiences.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what you're doing. Way to go. Well,
I would never have made that connection, but I love it. It's great.
That's what you do on the radio. You just kind of grab ideas
totally
from the air and
sense.
Stick them together and see what happens.
That's right. Well, and you've just put me in the same category as Hamilton, so
exactly.
How can I argue about that?
Exactly. Yeah. So
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, and just so as we were talking, speaking of pulling ideas from everywhere, I didn't even realize that that was a thing, that once you've been on Broadway, you would be like, yeah, this is my place now. Mm-hmm. And that the touring companies, so do they have a whole new cast or is it just the lead that does?
Yeah. And they go all over. It's like, so it's kind of like Ice Capades. There's the Western team and the Southern team, so, and multiples. The Northern team and the Eastern team.
Okay.
And they're called companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
And just like the actors on Broadway would change over time. So if a show was on for 14 years, it wouldn't have the same cast the whole time.
Right.
People would come and go.
And they have stand-ins, but they don't have two separate casts.
Not usually. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Two separate casts. This is a whole different little world.
Yeah.
I don't know much about.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
But that would make sense, right? Like, say, like Les Mis, you know, that little boy, you know, 14 years on Broadway.
And they do that thing, too, where they don't, in the Actors Guild, there's rules and stuff. You can't have a 8-year-old doing two shows a night on Broadway, right? So they switch them
out.
Or
go on tour.
Yeah.
With the company.
We sometimes do trips to New York at the high school. We actually have one coming up in March. But the last time we were there, we saw Matilda on Broadway.
Oh.
And we actually, the show stopped because the little girl playing Matilda got sick backstage.
Oh.
And they had to take her home and bring in another actor. Actually a pause that happened.
Oh,
and then they
gosh.
Just picked up and took off and the show carried on.
Yeah.
And
I think we have this idea that Broadway's like this ginormous space, but it's actually just one or two streets, and most of the theaters are quite little. Did you notice that?
I think that what makes it a on Broadway show, there has to be a minimum number of seats in the theater.
They're not like it's not Madison
like a
Square
Garden,
like an amphitheater.
It's like 200 or or maybe 400. There's a mezzanine and but I've been to some Broadway plays where it's quite a small space, and I mean, I think that makes it better.
Well, yeah,
because you can see
a
them,
small
like
intimate
you see
venue
them.
Oh, it's far superior for the audience members.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that, you know, there's must be a magic number for the actors as well, right? How many people they can project to and how many people feel like it's feeding them the energy.
Yeah,
if it's too big, it would be just
lot of it's in the design of the theater, though. A well-designed theater can have the acoustics and the angles and how things are set up. That's really what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be like a huge space, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I remember being struck by that. Like you could see them and you could hear them and you could and see the curtains move. And, you know, it's just like, and they, you could even look, sometimes they would look right at you, which is different than say, if you're going to a movie or a concert in a big hall or something.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You're definitely part of it. You're not just observing.
It's very intimate. That's why the audience is, to my mind, the most important thing, because why do it?
Oh, they wouldn't. Yeah. The people performing wouldn't want to do it to an empty room every single night.
No.
So.
Yeah. You feed off the energy, and people laughing at your jokes actually is a good thing.
Yeah. It's definitely an ecosystem of, right? Give and take. And,
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's actually really fun when a cast first, with high school students, when they first get in front of an audience, because they've been rehearsing for so long and they get used to the lines and how their response when the audience does actually laugh at their show and find it funny. When they come off stage, they're very excited and they laugh. They thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big,
like me,
big adrenaline
like
burst.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be the hugest adrenaline.
But then they got to learn to take a pause and let the audience finish laughing before they say their next line.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is also hard.
Because you kind of forget. Oh, you don't want to lose your rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to have a certain timing.
Well, and you get constant pressure from your director. Keep up your pacing. Pick up your cues. Make sure you've got your lines coming. Don't leave big pauses on stage, which doesn't apply when the audience is laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Do they ever have shows with, like, dress rehearsals with pretend audiences just to get used to the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, good.
We often invite people to our dress rehearsals. This year, we just had small little audiences. We had our ushers come for the show. So we had like between 6 and 10 both nights. Last year, we had a whole bunch of kids from the middle school came and had a full audience of middle schoolers.
Oh, fun.
Oh, that's good.
Which was fun. This one being in the evening, it wasn't as easy to organize that. But that was a real confidence boost for the kids because all those grade 6 and 7s laughing at them was inspiring.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you wouldn't want it to be, you wouldn't want your fake audience to be parents and grandparents of the cast, because otherwise who's going to be your audience, right?
Absolutely. Yes. The buy tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Come
you need
the show.
You
want them to buy
ultimately
tickets.
You still need to sell tickets. These things don't pay for themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
So while we're on that, maybe you can just tell us quickly how to do that.
Okay, so the show opens on tomorrow night, December 6th. It runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sunday matinees at 1:30. Tickets are online at shoeswaptheater.com. You can also get them at Entwined Fiber Arts, and you can also get them at the door.
Nice, but you probably shouldn't.
Well, we love when you buy ahead so we know you're coming, but don't let that stop you. Either way, find a way down and get yourself a ticket and come join us.
Yeah, and I love the ability to choose seats now, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you go to Entwined or you go online, you can pick your seats.
I know,
like I want to sit right there.
Yes. Have you sat in the new seats?
No, I haven't been yet.
Oh, they're lovely.
This is the chance.
It's better than being at the high school because our seats are not nearly as comfy as the new seats at the theater.
Yeah. Well, I know at the high school, if somebody like 8 seats away moves, you're like, whoa.
They're all connected.
Yeah, yeah. So this is exciting.
Oh, marvelous.
Yeah. And so what else? Like, I know you've got all kinds of opportunities for people to test the waters at the theater. And you must run, like, you must be part of, as the artistic committee, you must run workshops and things like that.
For sure. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell people that there's lots of opportunities and they really should think about getting involved at Shoeswap Theater. So there are workshops that are offered periodically. So if you don't have any experience and you're interested in learning more or trying something out, there are safe ways to kind of come and do that. So there might be a workshop on stage management. There might be a workshop on directing, theater 101, just kind of learning some of the different aspects that are of the theater and how it runs. There are always volunteers needed for front of house. So you're taking tickets and showing people to their seats. It's a pretty low key way to get involved. There's the Shoeswap Prompter, which is a part of the Shoeswap Theater. It's a mail out that happens once a month, and it's got all kinds of information about the theater in it. So auditions that are going on are in there as well. And all you need to do to get that is become a Shoeswap Theater member. And that is for the princely sum of $10 a year or $100 for a lifetime membership. And then you get the information as to what's going on, and you can see some of the things to try. And the other thing I want to say really quickly is Monday evenings, twice a month, there's an improv group that happens that is open to anybody who wants to come out and try improv. You can be a brand new, never having done anything. And so that's all like Whose Line Is It kind of comedy, which is really fun to do. And there's seniors theater during the day. I think it's on Tuesdays. Like just lots of really great opportunities.
Yeah. Well, we're enormously fortunate. I mean, I've heard about the improv and the seniors. And it's such a meaningful experience to connect, you know, try something new.
Yeah.
And it's a great, you know, vitamin art.
Yes. And an opportunity to laugh. That's what I keep hearing about seniors theater and, of course, improv, is that the participants, they're showing up every week and they just laugh and laugh and laugh. And we need that in our lives.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life without humor is awfully colorless.
Ugh. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a good opportunity for us to thank our awesome sponsor, DeMille's Farm Market.
Who, as it happens,
coincidentally,
has a daughter involved in our production.
Hooray, break a leg.
She's one of our stage managers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Nice. See, this is the small city big ideas, right? This is our, you know, there's people connected to all these different people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there's always somebody who knows somebody who's somebody's kid.
For sure.
But that just means that, you know, that's a big team. It's the biggest team of all.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't do this show, and the theater couldn't do their thing, and SAS couldn't do their thing unless there were sponsors and community members and businesses willing to say, hey, I'll help cover that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talk about too at the gallery is how membership is a form of sponsorship. Like just supporting an organization with their annual membership is a form of sponsorship.
Yes.
You are actually paying for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the costs of holding a membership are there. Mm-hmm. There's cost to that. And so you're kind of helping make sure that programming happens, but they can still get information out to the world. So it's a form of little tiny sponsorship.
And so is volunteering. Your time has value. And absolutely.
There's a lot of things that we already do, but it's just important to keep doing it and to think about the things that you're super passionate about and that you wouldn't want to see disappear in the community, and even offering those small little pieces of valuable things.
Well, there's a deep history of theater in Salmon Arman and the Shoeswap, and I'm confident with a team like yours that and a new generation on the way that there'll be a bright future ahead.
Yeah. So closing words, we're just about out of time.
I think that coming to see our play just might get you on Santa's nice list. So you should think about that.
Oh, wonderful.
I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be on Santa's nice list.
Maybe he'll even pop in for a visit.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? Well, thank you, Gloria. This has been a real treat to get to know you a bit more and to get to know this little behind the scenes of this collaboration. And it's very exciting. And maybe it's a groundwork for many, many more collaborations to come.
Just getting lots of kids and lots of people involved in a lifetime of theater. Yeah. Such a privilege. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you.
So once again, you can hear about or see all the arts events coming up in this incredibly busy season on the participate page on the Arts Center's website, salmonarmartscenter.ca. And you can also get information on the theater production, of course, on shoeswaptheater.com and shoeswapevents.com. There's just so much. You just really have to sit down one day, give yourself 20 minutes to explore all the things that are coming up because you don't want to miss anything.
No, right? And we're already into the first week of December.
We are. Yeah. And it's just because it hasn't snowed yet doesn't mean it's not coming.
Oh, no. It's coming. We'll be ready.
Yes. So have a great week, everyone. Next week, we've got the last show for us for the season, for the year.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of fun because we're having an open topic.
Mm.
Yeah. Watch Twitter for details on that. And Facebook, I guess.
And we'll see you soon.
See you soon, everyone.